This week we have a doubleheader. It's the third doubleheader so far. Is it? I think it's the third so far, right? The third doubleheader. Yaakov Bekudei, Achanimos Kedoshim, and now we have Bahar Bechukosai. And this week we catch up with Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, they split Bahar Bechukosai.
This Tazriya Mitzrayim also together.
Okay, so the right Yaakov Bekudei, Tazriya Mitzrayim, Achanimos Kedoshim. Oh, this is the fourth. This is the fourth doubleheader. Right? Tazriya Mitzrayim. What do you say? Vayakov Bekudei. And this is the fourth doubleheader, Bahar Bechu Kaisai. This week is also, in addition to the Maila of being a doubleheader, it's also Parshas. Just want to review all the different significant events of this Shabbos. It's also Chazak, Vinis Chazek. Shabbos Chazak is a special Shabbos. In addition, it's Shabbos Mevorchim. Mevorchim Chodesh Sivan, the Chodesh, the third Chodesh, the chosen Chodesh, the Chodesh of Matan Torah. It's a Shir Selian. Of this Beis HaKnesses over here. And this Beis HaKnesses that we're nene from every single day. Okay, very good. So there's a special Kiddush. Now, in addition, there's something very unique about this Shabbos is that we say Av Harachamin. This period of time, the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, this period of time is the anniversary of the Crusades. Specifically, the first crusade in the year 1096, Tatnu, and it was one of the most tragic events in the history of Klal Yisrael since the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It took place approximately 1,000 years after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and the horrors of the horrors of Tatnu were unreal, unprecedented. And in fact, the historians say that Tatnu, we don't appreciate this, is Tatnu really set the tone for all of the pogroms, the horrors, Inquisition, the Chmelnytsky massacres, and the Holocaust that followed in the next 1,000 years. The whole foundation of how, until the time of Tatnu, Jews, we were not prepared. Klal Yisrael never would imagine that they would be massacred in such a way, because just something like this would not happen. Chazal always, let's say, Tisha B'Av. We know that we observe the ninth day of Tisha B'Av and not the tenth day of Tisha B'Av, even though we know that the Mikdash, most of the Mikdash, burnt on the tenth day of Av. Not what I'm saying, the tenth day of Av and not the ninth day of Av. And if we were commemorating the Beis Hamikdash, we would assume that we should commemorate the 10th day of Av, not the 9th day of Av. And Chazal tell us, no, we do it on the 9th day, because that's Aschalto de Paranusa Adif. You focus on the Haskalah. Historians have told us that the events of Tatnu, the First Crusade, was the Aschalto de Paranusa for the next 1,000 years. The whole environment, we're a government, And religion, the Christians and the Muslims and organized crime could allow and perpetuate and tolerate the slaughter of Acheinu Bnei Yisrael. This all started at the time of the First Crusade in the year 1096, Tatnu. It is the Aschalto de Paranusa for Rachmana Litzlan, everything that has come in its wake.
And what's Tatnu mean?
Tatnu means the year. Hey Alafim, 4,000, tough Nun Vav. Right now we're in tough Shin Ayin Hey, tough Shin 775, 775 plus 5,000. Plus 5,000. 5,000 is called the Prat Gadol, and then comes the Prat Katan. It's Tav Shin Ayin Hey. Go back 1,000 years to the 4,000, and then it's tough Nun Vav.
846.
So this is, we commemorated this Shabbos. How do we commemorate this Shabbos? With the recital of Av HaRachamim. And in fact, in the early years, when Av HaRachamim was composed to commemorate the First Crusade, it was only said on Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Sivan. It was not said the entire year. This, that we say it the entire year, is a later custom. Since Rachman al-Sunday, there were so many, the Nusach of Av HaRachamim is inclusive, can include any tragedy, Rachman al-Tzlan, but it was originally composed to commemorate the Kedoshim of the First Crusade, and the events of the First Crusade as recorded in the Kina that we recite on Tisha B'Av took place at this time of the year. Therefore, even though it's Shabbos Mevarchim, and Shabbos Mevarchim we do not recite Av HaRachamim due to the Simcha, the nature of Simcha, and you especially would expect the Simcha of Kabbalah Satara, it does not matter. It is said, B'li Yotzim in HaKlal, everyone says, so we should concentrate when we say it. Yeah? Av HaRachamim, yeah. Oh no, it's machlokes. Do you also say Av HaRachamim when you mevarchim chodesh iyar? That is a machlokes. Some do and some do not. In the Luach it says the chilukei deos, chilukei minhagim. But chodesh sivan, everyone says, because in ancient times that was the only Shabbos when Av HaRachamim was recited.
So it's doesn't
matter. If you have a chasn in shul, does not matter. Doesn't matter. You say no matter what. This is a very important day. Again, it's Aschalta de Paranusa. It's a very sensitive, and people should take it very so. In addition to all these things, the double header, Shabbos Mevarchim, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, and we also elaine the Teuchacha. Let's not forget about the Teuchacha. And Chazal tell us that the Teuchacha, hidden in the Teuchacha, all are hidden brachas. Tichle Hashanah, we learn the Teuchacha before we come to Shavuos, because Shavuos is considered to be Rosh Hashanah. It's considered this week to be the end of the year. It's the finale. This Shabbos, in some one respect, is the finale of the year. We consider Shavuos to be Rosh Hashanah. It's a new world, with Matan Torah is a new world, and we want to put an end to all of the klalos, so we put the klalos behind us. Tichle Hashanah, v'kile lo yisecha, tochel Hashanah, u'bircha yisecha. Another significant thing to think about in this Shabbos. And again, of course, the significance of to commemorate, memorialize all of the tzaras for the last 1,000 years and just reciting with Kavanah that short paragraph, which many people unfortunately don't pay much attention to, the Av HaRachamim. There's one Shabbos in the year when you're going to say with Kavanah, this is the Shabbos. Now, in addition, there's something else very unique about this Shabbos. It says in the Gemara, this idea that we just...
single event that what? Happened this week?
Yes, it happened. Not happened, I think, on Gimel. It happened, if you look at the Kina on that we say on Tisha B'Av, it records the actual event of 1096, and it says the dates. It happened, there were three massacres, and they all occurred, I think, many massacres, but the three that they focus on. No. They were focused on in the Kina. And it says the dates. And the dates are Gimel, Sivan... It's all the things that are coming up this week. This coming week with Rosh Chodesh, the 6 days leading up to Shavuos was when the horrible tragedies began. Okay, now there's another very important point I want to make. We just mentioned Smaim Chazal that when we come to Sivan, we come to Shabbos Pahar B'Chokosai, we lay the Teuchacha. We lay in the Teuchacha before Rosh Shavuos. We lay in the Teuchacha of Chumash Tavarim before Rosh Hashanah because of the Chazal Tichle Shana Vekil Hasecha Tachel Shana Ubercha Hasecha. The Mefarshim asked the question, what about in Eretz Yisrael? We know that in ancient times in Eretz Yisrael they had a different Kriya Satorah. Instead of concluding the cycle once a year like we do before Simchas Torah, they conclude the cycle every 3 years. Now, if you're going to conclude every 3 years, it's not going to happen that you make a calculation. How I don't know the calculation. They have a source exactly how you break up the Torah into sections where you lane it for 3 years. It's not going to work out that you're going to lane Parshas Bichukosai before Shavuos, and you're not going to have Parshas Kisal before Rosh Hashanah. So how does that make sense? There's a contradiction in Shas. Shas it says in Eretz Yisrael they read the Torah in a cycle of 3 years, and yet it says what?
The Bavli,
but no, it appears there's no conflict. When there's no need to make conflict, we do not want to make conflict. So how do we reconcile this contradiction that you have to lay in the Teuchah before Shavuos, and you have to also lay in the entire Torah over a cycle of 3 years? So I saw this, I think I saw this in the Or Gedal Yahu, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I saw it somewhere else, is that Ein Hachinami, in Eretz Yisrael, they stopped. They had this 3-year cycle, but this week, this week, which is really 2 weeks, because we want to be mafsik, we don't want to go from klola right into a bracha, 2 weeks before Shavuos, they were mafsik from the regular three-year cycle, and they laned the toichacha midin in yonei diyoyma. Just like when it comes to Yom Tov, let's say Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. Do we lay in the Parshas HaShavua? No. If Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, we're mafsik, we stop our Seder of going through the entire Torah, and we read in Yonei D'Yoyma. Reading the Teichecha is in Yonei D'Yoyma. We must put him into Klala, so we must read the Teichecha, so we can start fresh with Kula Bracha. So in Eretz Yisrael, where there was a three-year cycle, there's two Shabbosos before Shavua, in Yonei D'Yoyma, you lay in Parshas Bichu Kosai. They did. What? You do it 2 weeks. You don't do it the week before. Is always Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar is always the week before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim Shuas. Nitzavim Vayelach is always the Parsha, and Nitzavim War, both Nitzavim Vayelach is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The reason why we don't do it is because you don't want to go directly from a Shabbos of Klala into Bracha. You want to be Mafsik and least 1 week. But the Chazal gives us this idea that you have to go and you have to land at the end. But what comes out is that in Eretz Yisrael, they did like they did in Bavel. There was no machlekes, there was no chiluk ideas, no different than minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. They did exactly the same thing. They land parshas bichukoisai. So what comes out is something very fascinating. The whole year, every single Shabbos, when we learn the parasha, Parashas HaShavua, we're always learning the Parashas HaShavua midin, the Seder. Hafeichba dekulaba. You learn this Shabbat, Bereishis, Noyach, Lech Lecha, there is a Seder. This week is one of 2 weeks only that when we learn the Parashas HaShavua, we're learning it with two things in mind. Number one, it's Parashas HaShavua, but it's also in Yonei D'Yoyma. You never have this. You either have Parashas HaShavua or in Yonei D'Yoyma. If it's Pesach, we lane in Yonei D'Yoyma. Vaydave Moshe's Moadei Hashem El B'nei Yisrael, Moshe Tor Klal Yisrael in Yom Tov, you lane in Yonei D'Yoyma. Pesach lane Pesach, Shuas is Shuas, Sukkos is Sukkos. But if it's not the Moadim, then you lane the Parashas HaShavua. Two times a year only. Every Kriyas HaTorah, the Kriyas HaTorah of this Shabbos is unique because you're learning Parshas Bichu Kosai Mitzad Echa, that it's Parshas HaShavua. But even if it wasn't Parshas HaShavua, you would still be required to learn Parshas Bichu Kosai because in Yonei D'Yoyma, Tichle Shon V'Kilo Osecha. And the proof to this is, look at Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, they had a three-year cycle. It didn't always fall out that Parshas Bichu Kosai was a parish before Shavuos. They were mafsik from the Parshas HaShavua to learn in Yonei D'Yoyma Parshas Bichu Kosai. So when we come to Kriyas HaTorah, we should realize it's a different type of Kriyas HaTorah. It's not your standard Kriyas HaTorah. In Yerushalayim, I do not know. Obviously, a very long time ago, they changed. Okay, let's go to a couple of short ideas in this week's parasha. We begin the Shul Torah, the short there. Short idea. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamart alehem ki savo el aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, asharni nosei lochem, v'shavis ha'aretz shabbos l'hashem. Immediately, the first thing you're going through when you come into Eretz Yisrael is going to be Shemitah. And then it goes on to say, and then I want you to count, Sheish Shanim Tizra Sodecha, Vesheish Shanim Tizmar Kamech, Vyasav Tizwasa, Uvashana Hashavis, Shabbos, Shabboson, Yel Aretz. It's going to be Shabbos, Shabboson. Here it's a double expression, Shabbos, Shabboson, Yel Aretz. Shabbos La Hashem, a third expression, and goes on to say that it's Shemitah. The question is, seemingly we can write this section without the first pasuk. We can just cut to the chase. We can write, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Behar Sinai Lamar. Sheish Shanim Tizra Sodecha. And then in the seventh year is Shemitah. Why is it necessary to introduce the parish of Shemitah with Shemitah?
How do you know it will be only in Eretz Yisrael?
What do you mean Eretz Yisrael?
You went straight to the second pasuk.
This goes straight to the second pasuk. We can figure out because it's a mitzvah tlius baretz by default.
How would you know that?
Because it says you're going to plant, you're going to harvest. Yeah. We'll figure it out. There's a way to avoid. We could have avoided the first pasuk. We could have just started with Shei Shanim. There are 6 years. At the end of 6 years, you come to Shabbos. Why do we begin immediately there is Shabbos, and then there are 6 years, and then there is Shabbos. Why the repetition? We could have avoided the first pasuk. So the answer is, it's coming to teach us the purpose of Shemitah. We all are very familiar. The Chazal tell us that if only we would observe 2 Shabbosos, Mashiach would come. And indeed, that's the last pasuk in this week's parasha. The last pasuk in this week's parasha is Es Shabbosai Sai Tishmoiru Umikdashi Tirohu Ani Hashem. It's plural. Shabbosai Sai, observe my Shabbosos. Multiple Shabbosos, 2 Shabbosos, and then what's the next word? Oh, if you'll observe my Shabbosos, you will merit that you will have a Beis HaMikdash. The Geula will arrive, the Geula will come. So the very last Pasuk tells us this idea of Chazal, you need to observe 2 Shabbosos. Why 2 Shabbosos? Why isn't 1 Shabbos enough? So the answer that's given by all the commentators is, Shabbos, until when can you make Havdalah? Until when can you make Havdalah? Until Tuesday. When are you mechuyav al pi halacha to take into consideration that Shabbos is coming, to make your plans accordingly? I'm going to travel on a trip, not for the purpose of mitzvah, and I'm going to have to, there's going to be a problem on Shabbos. When am I mechuyav to take that into consideration? Starting Wednesday. Wednesday, the yom is l'chu nirano l'Hashem n'ril tzoyeshenu. On Wednesday, we already mentioned the nusach of Kabbalah Shabbos. We allude to it because on Wednesday, you're ready to start thinking about Shabbos. So that means that Shabbos has a dual function. Shabbos, we prepare for Shabbos 3 days in advance. The Kiddush of Shabbos reaches out to us in advance, prepares us in advance, and the Kiddush of Shabbos lingers on after Shabbos ends for 3 days. So Shabbos, there's 2 Shabbos. Shabbos serves a dual function. Let's say, if you start with Shabbos right away, Shabbos, you become observant, and you observe Shabbos. That sanctity of Shabbos will linger on for 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And we get to Wednesday, we are already feeling the sanctity of the next Shabbos. So you need the full Shabbos is not just 1 day a week. Shabbos is 7 days a week. This is the day you observe Shabbos, but Shabbos has an effect forward and has an effect backwards. That's why Shabbos is described in the dual nature of Shabbos Hasai to Shabbosos. The dual effect of Shabbos, the lingering effect of Shabbos, and the anticipation for Shabbos. Just as this is true for Shabbos Kodesh, it's true for Shemitah. This year, and the one thing I left out, another very significant thing about the Shabbos, when Lynn Pekaris at Kotoro, besides all the different significant things, this year is a Shemitah year. Okay, let's not forget that. I'm sure everyone here has given a donation to the Keren HaShvius. No joke. Keren HaShvius. Shemitah year, to participate in Shemitah. And this is the Shabbos of Shemitah. Parashas Bahar is the top section in the Torah that emphasizes Kedusha Shabbos Shvius. This is what it's all about. So, in the year of Shemitah, how significant is it to celebrate Shemitah with Kriyas HaTorah of Shemitah? It's another very significant thing about the Shabbos. It's jam-packed with Kedusha, many in Yoni of Kedusha. But why do we have, so what is Shemitah? Shemitah is not just this year. The Kedusha of Shemitah to recognize Kili Haaretz, that's Hashem's land. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, has the same exact effect as Shabbos Kodesh. There is the lingering effect, and then there is the anticipation for Shvius. 3 years leading up to Shvius, we yearn, we anticipate, when will Shvius arrive? After Shvius comes, the effect, the Kedush of Shvius, Ki Li Haaretz, stays with us for 3 years. It's Shabbosai Sai Tishmaru. It's a double Shabbos. And to emphasize that point, the pasuk goes on, Al Derech Drush, it says Shabbos twice. You come into Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos, there's Shemitah. That Shemitah is going to linger on for 3 years. 3 years. And now, when you get to year 4, you're 3 years away from the next Shemitah. There is the effect, the anticipation, the Kedusha of Shemitah, of the next Shemitah coming forward to greet you. Just like Shabbos Kodesh lingers and it precedes us for 3 days, so to Shemitah lingers for 3 years, and the Kedusha of Shvius precedes its coming for 3 years. And that's what the Torah is spelling out. There's a Shemitah in the beginning of the Shemitah in the beginning, there's a Shemitah at the end, and in between there are 6 years, and those 6 years draw their Kedusha. The first 3 years draw their Kedusha from the first Shemitah, and the second, the last 3 days of the cycle draw their Kedusha from the coming Shemitah. That is alluded to, so it's a very nice package to package up the parsha. The parsha begins with Shemitah, and the parsha ends with Shemitah. It begins with Shemitah before and after two Shemitos, Shabbos Lashem, and then Shabbos at the end, and then it concludes the last part of the parasha, Shabbos Sai, plural, two Shabbosas, and through that, Mikdashi Tirahu, we're able to bring Kedusha into our lives in many forms. Okay, let's go to another idea. I'll tell you over, let's jump ahead. Okay, a little few of Psukim, we come to the Yovel. We come to Yovel. In the years of Yovel, Chitzim Kumim Kol Amisecha, Ikonom Yad Amisech. Now Yovel, I'm coming to something else, which touched upon Yovel, Al-Toni Yitzchus Amisechiv. Pasuk here in the beginning of Sheni tells us the Isra of Oinoas Devar, which we'll come back to in a few moments. Then goes on to tell that when you sell a field, you have to realize that when it comes Yovel, the field's going to go back. So it's when you want to redeem the field, you make a calculation how many years left until Yovel, because since Yovel anyway, the field will come back, so you have to discount the field, rate the field based upon how many years the field is meant to be in the possession of the owner until it returns. And then it goes on to say, in the middle of nowhere, v'chisoymru ma'noichal bashana hashviyis. What's going to happen in the seventh year? I'm not going to plant. I'm not going to prepare the land. So Hashem says, I do not want you to worry. You need not worry. In the year of Shemitah, this year is the year of Shemitah. Keren Hashvi'is, this is what many people are trying to teach. You don't have to worry. You have to have emunah pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds a lot easier than it is. You have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to, to abandon your field in the year of Shemitah. Question, why doesn't the Pasuk tell us even the bigger challenge of Yovel? In the last Shemitah cycle, after 7 times 7, you're not allowed to work your land for 4 years. The 6th year, the Shemitah year, you're not going to be eating. And then you're not going to be eating in the 50th year. And then because you didn't plant for 2 years, the Shemitah year and the Yovel year, you're not going to have anything to eat in the first year. So you need the food that you plant in the 6th year to last for 4 years. 6, then the 7, six, Yovel, eight. And 1. So it needs to last. Why, if the Torah is telling us that you need not worry, have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, so you're saying something very interesting. Let's clarify the question. The Torah here, this Farshim tell us, is the only place in the Torah where Hashem tells you, says, I know it's not easy to keep the mitzvahs. There's no other mitzvah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you tayag mitzvahs. I know it's hard. Keeping kosher is not so easy. If you're on a desert island, it's not so easy. But do it. You'll survive. I'll help you out. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say, Hashem does not give you encouragement for any of the tariag mitzvahs. The only mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, I know what you're thinking. It's very difficult to do. What's the question? But it doesn't say, Hashem does not spell out the question. It doesn't say, how can I go be mechavi my parents? I have a job, I have a family, I have parnasa, I have other things too, I'm a busy person. It doesn't say that. The only place where Kadosh Baruch Hu goes through the thought process. What am I going to do? I have a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is in conflict with what I want to do today. So Hashem says, listen, I'm telling you what to do, trust me, do it, and everything will work out for you the best. It does not say this thought process anywhere in the Torah with the exception of Shemitah. Why? Obviously, Shemitah is something special. It's something different. It requires greater emunah. It's more one thing a person to observe Shabbos. How can I not work on Shabbos? My boss told me, if I don't work on Saturday, don't come back Monday. So how could I go? Does the Torah go through this thought process? V'chisoymar, how could I not do malach on Shabbos? What's going to be? Don't worry. V'tzivisi es berchasi, I'll take care of you. Why doesn't the Torah do that? The Torah demands of us emunah. That's a given. Torah demands of us emunah. And Shabbos, relative to Shemitah, is easy. Because Shabbos is just one day. One day you don't do malacha for 25 hours. When it comes to Shemitah, a whole year, it's suicidal. It's suicidal to abandon not just your land, the whole Eretz Yisrael should remain fallow. It's suicidal. There's no country in the world that would understand this. No country, no government in the world. You want to go and have let the land rest a little bit in order to rejuvenate the nutrients, so we'll have a cycle. So not the whole country. There'll be one piece of land here. We'll rotate the lands in order to let the land replenish its nutrients. But the whole country from shining sea to shining sea to lie fallow? Impossible. It requires emuna, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the effort of telling us, V'chitzoymar b'ashana ha-shishus ma'aneichal. But now the question is even greater. So why only in this, why only for Shemitah? There's a time that requires even more emuna. And that's when Shemitah is back to back with Yovel. What are you going to do then? And if the Torah wants to tell it to us once, it should tell it to us in the most difficult situation and call Shekane in the less difficult situation.
So by the time they've been killed, well, they've already had many things.
You're saying, as Rav Meir said, so this is a very profound idea that you're touching on, and it's the Torah is speaking to us in a very deep way. And the Torah is telling us, it's difficult. But after 49 years, a person is expected to have enough seichel to look back at his life and say, wow, I survived. Look at that. I got through 6 or 7 cycles. How could it be? I got through 7 cycles, 49 years, 7 times. It was suicidal to survive the whole Eretz Yisrael. And look, Hashem took care of us. We're still here, we're still alive. The Torah here is now demanding of you, show me your emuna, that when it'll come to the year of Yovel, when it's going to be 4 years, that you'll survive. And here the Torah is not going to go through the thought process. Just like the Torah did not go through the thought process when it comes to Shabbos. It's very difficult to keep Shabbos. It's very difficult. What's going to be? You know, have some emunah. That's all part of what it's about. Have emunah. Extremely difficult emunah, that I'm going to help you. I'm going to go and I'm going to clarify for you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. I'm going to help you. But what about the ultimate act of emunah? To survive for 4 years? That's off the charts. That's impossible. Here, Hashem, I'm not going to encourage you. I'm not going to go through the thought process and help you. Because this I'm going to demand of you on your own to reach this madrega without me holding your hand and helping you and taking you like a child. Because I'm expecting you as a healthy, thinking adult to look back at your life of 50 years and to recognize, look at that. Hashem was with me through all the difficult times and I survived. I have emunah. I'll get through more difficult times, like we learned today in Rus. Don't say zeh, say gam. The difference between the two psukim. It's not just this situation, zeh letoiva, it's gamzu letoiva. This is difficult and there are other difficult things. You'll get through it as well. This is what the Torah is coming to be toiveya from a person. The most difficult, you see the beauty. This difficult situation. Hashem is not helping us. He's not holding us by the hand. Have faith. Very difficult things, I'm going to help you with. But things that are super, super difficult, I'm not helping you. Because that, I'm expecting you to learn, to take a lesson from everything that happened in your life. Like we once mentioned that thing, the story, this legend, where a person, Achamei of Esther, he comes to Shemam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, replays his whole life. Replays the whole life, and he replays it by showing him that they're walking along the sand, and there are footsteps. There are his footsteps, and there are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footsteps. And Hashem is walking with the person throughout his entire life through along the beach. And then the person, he comes, he sees at certain points in time, in the timeline, there's only one set of footprints. And he looks at the timeline, and he realizes when there was only one set of footprints, those were the most difficult times of his life. And he says to the Rebbein, how come you abandoned me during those difficult times in my life? And Hashem says to him, those difficult times in your life when you only see one set of footprints, those are my footprints, not your footprints. Because it was those difficult times in life I was carrying you. And that's the same thing as we're going with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is by our side. He's helping us through the most difficult times. But the super difficult times, Hashem is saying it's going to be your footprints, not my footprints. Because you have to now understand that's the requirement, the musr of life, to look back at the past. Okay, let's go to another. What?
We
do not have Yom HaZeh. Okay, we'll talk about that in a few moments. Let's go to another idea. Now, this question that we just asked is also answered al derech pshat by Harav Chaim Berlin. Now, you learn in a yeshiva, someone can challenge you. Oh, you learn Chaim Berlin? You learn, oh, you know Chaim Berlin was. He was a goyin, sheva goyin. No, tell me a vart. Tell me a vart from Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Let me hear a good vart. So I'm going to tell you a vart now from Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. He asked the question, what this pasuk, it seems to be in the wrong section. The section of Shemitah is in the beginning of the parasha, the first Aliyah. This section, this question, is in the section of where a person owns property and he sells property, and now he wants to buy it back. So since in 50 years, when Yovel comes, anyway, the property comes back for free, so when you want to buy it back prematurely, you don't have to pay the full price, you have to discount how many years left are there till Yovel. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, it goes and it asks the question, what are you going to say during the year of Shemitah? This pasuk is in the wrong place. There's a printer's error, it seems. This section belongs back in the first section. What is going on? Shav Chaim Lin says, well, let's ask the other question. What happened to Yovel? How come the pasuk does not ask the question, the greater question, what's going to be in the year of Yovel when you have to survive for 4 years? So he says, one question answers the other. What do we mean? This parsha is dealing with a situation where a person is going to buy back the land, let's say, for 10 years. Rashi, in fact, gives us the example of 10 years. Then he quotes Medrash 10 years. Oh, there are 10 years left until Yovel. Okay, so how, when you sold the field, it was meant to be in your possession for 50 years. And how much did you pay? Okay, so let's now figure out the discount, make a calculation, 10 years. But wait a minute, 10 years, one of those 10 years is Shemitah. If there are 10 years left to go until Yovel, 10 years includes a Shemitah. So you should only make the calculation for 9 years. From those 10 years. Because one of those 10 years, so when you pay money, to buy back the field prematurely for 9 years, why are you paying an amount of money for every single year when one of those years you're not getting a return on your investment? But you're paying for the produce. You're paying for the produce of the land. When you purchase the land, the land is going to produce. That's all included in the price of sale. The assumption is it will. That is what you purchase land for. You buy land that it should produce. So why then, when you have to buy it back, do you have to pay for all 10 years when one of those years is Shemitah? So the answer is you're right. That's exactly what the pasuk is saying. V'chisoimru. If you're going to say to your friend, why do I have to pay for 10 years? I'm only going to pay for 9 years because that year number 7 is Shemitah. But in year 6, it's double. Double. So 10 years is 10 years. It's just that in year 7, it's fallow, but in year 6, it's double. That is why the question is being addressed here in the parasha of buying back and redemption of Geula. Now it answers the other question, what about Yovel? Yovel is never an issue. Yovel is never, because Yovel, the land goes back. You never have a situation where you're going to discount the land over year 49 and 50. Because in year 50, the land goes back for free.
But the guy who gets it,
yeah,
has no fruit for one year.
Okay. But
the first guy got all the...
Okay, some want to go a little bit further and say that's why the sugya of Onoas Tavarm appears here as well. The first pasuk begins with Onalo Sonu Ish Esamiso, which Chazal interpret to mean you're not allowed to say nasty things to your friend. Because what can you say to your friend? Oh really? I want to buy back the land for 10 years. So he'll say, if it's a ten, so give me 10 years. So he'll say to him, I'm only giving you 9 years, because 1 year is a year of Shemitah. What do you mean? But in that, in year number six, it produces double. A person would have the tendency to say, you're no tzaddik. You're no tzaddik. Only for tzaddikim does the land produce double in year six, for year seven as well. But you're not a tzaddik, so for you, I'm only going to pay 9 years, not 10 years. That's why the pasuk begins, the parsha begins with, listen, there's no ono astavarim. The amech kulam tzaddikim. Everyone is a tzaddik, and therefore we have the right to assume that everything will go according to plan, and therefore you indeed have to buy back for 10 years, including the Yom Shemitah, because of that extra year. What? Well, okay, let's go quickly touch upon another idea which answers that question. Question is, this bracha that the land produces for 2 years was only... If you ask the question, all the Bali Musa say this idea. I'm only bringing this up because I saw an addition, an addendum to this idea. Let's go review what it says in the pasuk. We have over here the pasuk says v'chi soimru. If you're going to say a question, you're going to ask manoichal bashana hashvis. What are we going to eat in the 7th year? So Hashem says, don't worry. V'tzivisi es birchasi lachem bashana hashishis v'yasos es hatvul l'shloish hashin. The land's going to produce more. Let me ask you a question. What happens if the person does not ask the question? Let's say you have emuna pshuta. You just a maimin. The Torah says shlita. The land is on vacation. Good. The land's on vacation. I'm a tzaddik yisoid olam. I have emuna pshuta, and you don't even think about asking the question. So then it seems from the pasuk the land is not going to produce double. It's going to lie fallow. Einochinami. That's even the bigger bracha. The bigger bracha is that the land will produce a regular, but you'll somehow miraculously be able to do a lot with a little. You won't even notice. Ochal kimia v'nisparech b'meyav. Chazal tell us that the time when they offered Mizman Shei Yisrael Oysim Mitzen Shel Makom, and they brought the lechem upon him, all of the Kohanim wanted a little piece of the lechem upon him. Everyone got a crumb. And that crumb was like Suda Shleimai B'Shaitai. From the crumb that the Kohen ate, it was misparech. They ate a small amount. Umisparech b'meyav. And mizman she'ein yischol oisim mitzvah shalakom. Even if you ate up both loaves of bread, you walked away starving. You were not satisfied. The ultimate bracha is not to ask a question. And if you don't ask a question, the land's not going to produce double, triple. It's going to produce what it would normally produce. And from that normal amount that it's going to produce, somehow, some way, you'll survive just fine. It's only if a person lacks emunah and he starts asking questions, does a Kadosh Baruch Hu need to say, listen, you're not holding on that madrega, so let me help you out, I'll go and I'll give you double, triple. But you have to understand, if the land produces double, triple, that 1 year, you got to pay taxes. Think about the IRS. And you got to go pay storage. And you have to go hire workers. And you can have a lot of headaches. The more that it produces, you're not going to be ready to deal with all the traffic. Who says it's so good? You've been better off just to have your little, have time to learn, have time to do chesed, time to enjoy yourself, and just survive on the small amount that you normally would have. That would have been the ultimate bracha. And how do you see that this is true in the pasuk? So let me read you some of the next parts of the words. First it says here, you shall, it says in the pasuk, first says vasisem eschukosam yesmishrotai tishmu vasis mosam vishavtem, you will live al ha'aretz lovetach, you'll live on the earth in a state of security. And the pasuk repeats this, v'nosino ha'aretz piria, and the earth will produce its fruit normal. In the 6th year, it will produce 1 year's worth of crop. V'achaltem losova. And guess what? Even though the next year is Shemitah, don't worry. Even though I only have in the closet just 1 year's supply, it will miraculously last for 2 years. And you'll be satisfied. You'll have leftovers. V'achaltem losova. And not only that, you'll live in security, with security. V'shavtem lovetach. al ha'olech upon the land. But what happens? V'chisarmu manoichal b'ashana hashriyis heiloi nizr loi nesav es tvuoseinu v'tzivisi es b'chusil lucha b'ashana hashishis v'yasos es tvuol l'shloish hashanim and uzeratim es hashana hashminis v'achaltem min atvuo yashan. Now it says you'll eat ad hashana hatishis ad bo hatzboa tvuosar tochlu yashan. It doesn't say here you'll eat with satisfaction. If you have a lack of emunah and you have to ask the question and you have to trouble HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you in year 6 double, triple, you'll eat, you'll have, but it doesn't say you'll be satisfied like it said if you don't ask the question. And not only that, you're not going to live in the land in a state of security. V'horetz lo simocher litzmisos ki li horetz. Remember, it's not your land, it's my land. Ki geirim v'soyshavim atem imodi. You're just strangers here. It's not your land. There's a very big difference in living in a land lovetach and living in a land where you know that you're just geirim v'soyshavim. So we have over here an amazing thing. We have a madrega, what seems to be an incredible bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The land will be producing 2-3 times more than normal, but that's not the ultimate bracha. That bracha does not include soiva, satisfaction, and that bracha does not include security. But if you don't ask the question and you just have the bare minimum, less than the bare minimum, and somehow you're able to survive, then you'll have soiva and you'll have security. Not when it comes to Shemitah. Shemitah, that's why this is the unique from all the Tayag Mitzvah. Shemitah is off the charts. Everything in the Torah, there's a shtadlus, haneg bohem minog derech eretz. Don't think miracles are going to happen if you don't take the steps. Shemitah is the exception. The Torah goes through the thought process, the Torah, this idea that I just told you, all of the commentators said, this is a very popular idea. Now the addendum to this idea that I saw, which intrigued me, is a famous Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Brachos. It's, I don't remember the exact words of the Gemara, but the Gemara there is something along the lines that every morning, David's officers, his cabinet members, or his citizens came and knocked on his door and they said, David, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. We're in trouble. We need Parnasa. So he told them, go and do business among yourselves. Go and do the best that you can. Do business. I've got the exact words of the Gemara. Each person should sell whatever they have to their friends. Internally, you shall find enough Parnasa among yourselves. They said to David, Ein hakoimetz maspia esuari. A small fistful of bread, of flour, cannot satisfy a lion. A lion needs a lot. Klal Yisrael, they're lions. A little small porcelain, a little small amount of food is not enough to satisfy. David didn't know that. What was the hav? I mean, what was David's? David didn't get every single morning a report from. What's his name? Lou. What's his first name?
Jack.
Jack Lou. Jack Lou came in every morning to David HaMelech to present him the financial state of the country.
Borrow
so he didn't know what?
Borrow money on the market.
He didn't know what the matzav is. David didn't know that we got problems. So what's David telling? Yeah, just muchazach. Muchazach. Go and try to somehow find a solution among yourselves. They told him, David, it's not working. So David says, okay, we'll go to war. We're going to war. We'll stimulate the economy. War is good for the economy. That's what he told. What's the Hamin? What's the Maska? The Hamin is David said, I want you to be on the Madrega of Klal Yisrael without asking the questions. Look at the Parish of Shemitah. The Parish of Shemitah is in the sixth year, you're not going to plant. So what are you going to do in the seventh year? The Torah says, don't worry. You're right. The land, you're not going to have enough. It's only going to produce 1 year's worth. But you know what? The Pasuk says, but don't worry, you'll survive, you'll be satisfied. Not only will you have, you'll be satisfied. And not only that, I'm giving you a tremendous bracha. But the Torah does acknowledge that not every person is on that madrega. It's an ideal, But not every person is ready for that ideal. It's a very high, maybe only Yechidim, one in a million, are ready to hold to such a high Madrega. The average person says, I'm not on that Madrega. Okay, if you're not on that Madrega, so I have a solution for you as well. But it comes at a price. The price is, there's no soiva, there's no satisfaction, and the land, you're not going to be living in the land of Vetach. David says, listen, try to work on your emunah. If you'll work on your emunah, you're right, you don't have enough to survive. Somehow, you'll survive. Hashem will help you. You'll survive with what you have. You'll make a lot out of a little. There's no need for war. There's no need to go out to war. There's no need. You'll be satisfied. But they said to David, David, you're right, David, you're right. But we have bad news to tell you. We're not on that level. We're not. Skadnu hadaros. We have no choice. We don't have that kind of emunah. We got to be practical. Okay? The Torah has a response for you as well. The Torah, there are ideals, and there is being practical. If you can reach that madrega, halavai, that's a high madrega, but the Torah is not here to make trouble for anyone. The Torah is here to be a plan for every person to feed their madrega. Okay, let's go to some of the quick part. Let's go to the beginning of the chukos. What are the chukosai? If you follow my laws. What are the laws? So Rashi goes on to say, does it refer to the mitzvahs? Can be. We already said that. It must refer to amelus b'torah. Im bichukosayim to you amelim b'torah. To toil in the study of Torah. The word amelus, omel, is a very strong word. It's not to be taken lightly. It means burn the midnight oil. It means hard effort. The Rabbeinu Bachya disagrees with Rashi's translation. He has the same kasha. What does it mean over here? What are we referring to? The mitzvos. But he comes to a different conclusion. He says that b'chukosai is a continuation of Behar. It refers to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel. If you will observe the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, then I go on to give you all the brachos from Aleph until Tav, all the brachos that follow come. So we have here a Machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Bachya. Are we referring to Amelus B'Torah or are we referring to Shemitah and Yovel? What is interesting is that these two ideas are complete opposites. Amelus means hard work. Shemitah means relaxation. You don't go into the field. Shabbos Lashem, Yoishev Batal. Okay, of course, one refers to studying of Torah, one refers to working in the field, but they both represent a different idea. Okay, now let's just add one more point, one more piece of information. I saw in the Sefer that we at the end of Seydet Haros, we say the pasuk that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is manchil ohava yesh. Hashem is manchil to his. To tzaddikim yesh. What is yesh? 300 shy olamos, 310 worlds. Spooky stuff. We have no understanding what that means. L'chol tzaddik v'tzaddik yesh shy olamos. However, darshanim they have another interpretation. They tell us it refers to yirah shamayim. The ultimate blessing you can have in this world is the tools to survive. Yirah Shemaim. Yud Shin is Yesh Yirah Shemaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Tzadikim an additional Darg of Yirah Shemaim. The Baal Darshanim also tell us that Yud Shin stands for Yovel and Shemitah. Lahanchil Le'ohav HaYesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Tzadikim the Zechus to live a long life. They'll live until Yovel, they'll have Shemitah, represents long times of times. But these two ideas do not conflict, because in order to properly observe Yovel and Shemitah, you need Yir HaShemayim, the two go together, the two are totally zeh bezeh.
How can we say Hashem is manchil Yir HaShemayim? We say Kol Bidei Shemayim, because we Yir HaShemayim.
unless you work on Yerushalayim. That's right. If you work, you're mispalel for Yerushalayim, Hashem gives it to you. If you earn it, you have to work on conquering Yerushalayim. But Hashem also assists. That's a famous question you're asking. There are conflicts. Hashem gives, but you have to show that you want. So here we have. Let's go back to our original question. Our question is, what over here is going on? We have over here two different psukim. So the Eteretz is not. It's not a contradiction. These two go together. When we talk about Shmit and Yovel, that represents the idea of being Yoshev Bottle from pursuing the pleasures of this world. There's no working the land, producing food, producing revenue. This is a marshal for pursuing the Ta'anugei Ha'olam Hazeh. There's no way a person can be Omel B'Torah, can be deeply immersed in Torah, if he is thinking the entire day about enjoying his life, enjoying. The two just don't go together. So these two are not a contradiction, they're just two different sides of the same coin. If a person is Bichu Koisai Teilechu, you're Shavas, you observe Shmit and Yovel, you recognize that the land doesn't belong to me. The land, every 7 years, the land is bottle. Yovel, it's bottle. Kili ha'aretz. It's not kedai to pursue a life of gashmius, but instead to follow what Rashi says, to devote your life to be omel b'Torah. That is the ultimate bracha. So the truth is, these two ideas, they complement one another. The only way you can be omel b'Torah is only when you focus on the message of Shmita v'Yovel. The message is Kili Haaretz. It's not your land anyway. You're not going to take it with you into the next world. Don't get too worked up. Don't focus on the Gashmias, on the Tanug Olam Hazeh. And what's the proof that these two ideas go together? The proof is the end of the brachas. The end of the brachas concludes for Nisi Aleichem. What does it say in the end, the last one of the brachas? Hasha, I will turn to you, v'hifreisi eschem. I will multiply you, v'hirbeisi eschem. Nakimosi esbrisi itchem. So Rashi says, what does it mean, v'hifreisi aleichem? Rashi says, efne mikol asokai. L'shalem secharchem. Hashem says, I'm very busy. I'm a very busy being. I'm omnipotent. I'm very busy. I got a lot on my desk, Hashem says. There are wars. There are problems. Everyone wants a piece of my time. Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, close for business. It's going to be Shabbos for me. Close. I'm not going to involve myself in anything else. Instead, I'm going to devote myself. I'm going to be omel in seeking your benefit. Mida keneged mida. If we are shovas, if we follow Rabbeinu Bachya of in Bichukosai Teilechu, we're shovas from pursuing the Tanugi Olam Hazeh, and instead we focus on Amelos B'Torah, on Minkayim the Torah Mitzvos. Mida keneged mida. That's how the bracha concludes. Ufonisi Aleichem. Rashi says Hashem is also going to be shovas. Hashem is also going to be mevatel from everything that he's doing, put that aside, and focus his full concentration on giving b'mach. So we see the nida kineged nida. Okay, now Mary asked a very interesting question. Do we have Yovel b'zman hazeh? We don't. There is no Yovel b'zman hazeh after the Chumbeis Hamikdash. And that brings out a very interesting point. First of all, what is Yovel? Yovel, what is the literal translation of Yovel? Yovel is... Yovel means a horn. What is a horn? A horn of an animal. Sound. How does one produce sound through blowing? What is Shemitah all about? Shemitah is all about the land. It's a recognition that the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Yovel? Yovel comes after seven cycles of Shemitah. We would think that Yovel is also about the land, right? The ultimate, after going through seven cycles of Shemitah, we come to the ultimate recognition that the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not so. Yovel is all about the person. On Yovel, v'shavtem ish el achuza. So it does not say that the achuza, the land, returns to man. It says the man returns. Yovel is all about the man, about the person. a person that lives 70 years, 20 years, he's not a bar, he's not chayiv, and then there are 50, then there are 50 years until Shivim Shon, 120 years, but the primary years, the first 70 years. When a person reaches 70, he has reached a yovel in his life. Yovel is about, therefore yovel is expressed in terms of a horn. A horn represents the creation of man. A horn is an object which you blow. How was man created? Vayibach ba'apov nishmas chayim. With the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, what did we lose? Did we lose Eretz Yisrael? No, we didn't. Look, it's there. Eretz Yisrael is there. It's on the map. Baruch Hashem, today Klal Yisrael has a very significant achiza in Eretz Yisrael. You can't say you lost the land. That's Kedusha Saritz. Kedusha Shnia, Kibbutz Sheni, is Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Yasilavo. The land is always there. The Churban of the Beis Hamikdash is that a human being, the tzura, the kavod, and the tzura of Adam has been significantly diminished in the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we're lacking in Zman Hazeh. Adam does not have the dignity, does not have the tzura, the kedusha that he earns, that he deserves. And the proof of this is Yovel. Yovel is all about Adam. Only after we appreciate the kedusha, all of the things that we practice in Shemitah and Yovel, all hits upon a person, after relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and relating to all of the events of the world, and observing of the miracles, how a person can survive seven cycles, does a person reach a madrega where now he can appreciate the greatness of man? The seventh Shemitah cycles culminate in Yovel. Yovel is B'shavtem Ish Elachu Zoso. Man finds redemption. Yovel is a horn, Vayibach B'yabav Nishmas Chayim. And it's such a beautiful idea, after everything, that's the culmination, but yet we don't have this because this is the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's for that reason, the parasha, what is the Nechama? The Nechama that comes after Parashas Bahar. Parashas Bahar is all about the Chashiva Sa'adam, but unfortunately there's a Teichacha. And what is the Teichacha all about? Teichacha is all about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And the major consequence of losing the Beis HaMikdash is the loss of Yovel. Think about it. Karbanos, you can still bring karbanos when there's no Beis HaMikdash. You just have to know the right place, location. You have to know the right, you can bring a Karban Pesach. Technically speaking, there's potential to bring a Karban Pesach. There's a lot of Torah, the Chasam Sofer. We don't do it, of course, impossible, because of all of the technicalities. But theoretically, even with the Karban Beis HaMikdash, theoretically it's possible still to bring karbanos. There are mitzvos hatlios baretz. What is the Churban of the Teichacha? The Teichacha is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. With the Churban Beis HaMikdash comes the loss of Yovel. The Tzura Yovel is about Adam. Adam has been diminished, has been his kedusha, his kavod has been diminished. And what is the nechama? What comes after the teichacha? The parsha of Arachin. And what is the parsha of Arachin? The value of person. That even though, in other words, there's life after Churban. Okay, there's a lot of discussion among all the psychologists about life after tragedy. Rahman al-Islam is this, you gotta go on. Why is Parsha of Arachim come right after the Teichacha? Right after the Teichacha. Why? What's Parsha Arachim doing right there? Because what is the loss of the Churban? What came before Parsha Bahar is Yovel. What is Yovel? Yovel is the kedusha of a human being. Even though man does not have that madrega, but he at least has the madrega, has some small erich value. Okay, one last thing to conclude. This is a nice little idea, short idea, which I think has some powerful message for us. We know there are a lot of tzaddikim, they're called by their there's a mazel in what we refer to them. Rav Moshe Feinstein, isn't it very interesting that everyone calls him Rav Moshe? The whole world, they call him Rav Moshe. They don't call him Rav Feinstein. Why? Moshe, it touches upon Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, every generation there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol Hadar. It's a special thing, it's Hashgacha Pratis that we refer to him, Rabbi Moshe, the Chofetz Chaim. He wrote, Chofetz Chaim, his accomplishments are too numerous to count. And what do we call him? What is Rabbi Shol Meir of Kagan? What is he called? The Chofetz Chaim. The Sefer, Chofetz Chaim, which teaches us the Shmiras HaLashayim.
Simcha once said something even more. Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote the Chafetz Chaim, he wanted to be anonymous.
Anonymous, and yet this
yes,
is
that's the same.
That's that he's known by a lot of the Chazon Ish. He's not called Avram Yeshaya Karelitz.
Yeah.
He's called the Chazon Ish. There's a lot to that. Hashkocha Pratis. Let's go back to one of the Kadmonim, Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, the Baal Taisus. What is he called? He's called Rabbeinu Tam. What was his name?
Yaakov.
His name was Yaakov. Yaakov. So the Pashim Shad is, why do we call him Rabbeinu Tam? Taisus calls him Rabbeinu Tam. Because Yaakov, Ish Tam, Yoshe Vaholim, the Baal Taisus, they sat and learned. He was a Tam, he was a Sholem Tam. So there's a Sefer called the Shilas and Jewish Maharid, written by Rav Yaakov David Biderman. Biderman, he was the Av Bezdin, and he was a grandson of the Pnei Yeshua, and he says that he had a dream. Okay, take it for what it's worth. He had a dream, and the dream was told to him. The reason why.